In our deepest moments of struggle, frustration, fear, and confusion, we are being called upon to reach in and touch our hearts. Then we will know what to do, what to say, how to be. What is right is always in our deepest heart of hearts. It is from the deepest part of our hearts that we are capable of reaching and touching another human being. It is, after all, one heart touching another heart. And this week's opening quote comes from Roberta Sage Hamilton. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, here we are at the beginning of 2016, and I thought I would come and do another show. I won't be able to do one again for another couple of weeks. I've actually got to get to Peru by January 17, and it may be a little difficult for me to get any more shows put out before I get there, but we'll just see how we go, see if I've got time to do one next week or the week after. But if not, then I will definitely try to get back on the air regularly by the end of January. I would have done one a little bit earlier for you, but I've actually been quite sick these last few weeks. I've had a very bad chest cold, and it's made it very difficult to be able to do any shows. I've actually cancelled all the interviews that I had in December as well, just because I have not been well enough to do any. I've done the odd little press TV slot, but that's about it. I've kind of dropped off the map as far as most things go, because I've just been in a position where I just had to pay attention to my health and try to get back to a point where I'm actually able to continue and keep going. I mean, we do need strength to this, folks, and I tend to neglect myself a little bit. And after a few years of it, it does catch up to you, and you need to take a few weeks off to try to recuperate. I need a maid or something. I need someone to come and cook me meals and make sure I eat properly. That would be handy. I can't really see that happening, but of course, we can always dream, and you never know what may eventuate. But getting back on topic, 2016, what a year I think this is shaping up to be, folks. I think it's going to be a year of change, I really do. Of course, what that change will be will depend upon the people. It will depend upon whether we stand up as a species and start calling this system out for what it is, or whether we simply allow ourselves to be corralled and led where the ruling hand wants to lead us, which is not going to be to a very good place, ladies and gentlemen. But then I don't think we're going to do that. I think that too many people are actually waking up now, and I don't think the ruling hand is going to get away with what it wants to do. I really don't. I think there are just too many people now who have had enough and are prepared to stand up and make a little bit of noise and make a difference. I mean, we're certainly being pushed to it by all of our governments. What we've seen here in Australia, they are really, really pushing the people for some type of an uprising. They're pushing for civil war. They're pushing for a great deal of civil unrest. Of course, they're doing so because they know how to deal with such things. They're looking for violence from the people. They're looking for angry people shouting angry slogans and waving angry fists. So they will need to bring in their goon squads to control them. And that's what it's all about. That's the way they like to do things. That's why they push the people so hard. And they are certainly pushing them hard here in Australia. The Australian government is introducing mandatory vaccination laws taking effect from January 1st this year. This will serve to see the poorest people in our society forced into a position where they must inject toxins and poisons into their children and themselves, or they will be removed of all government benefits and be forced to live a life of crime. This is the way the government likes to escalate the crime rate, make sure the crime figures are right up there, so of course we need more police. But it also has another very interesting effect, in as much as it actually invalidates the entire Australian government. The fact that Malcolm Turnbull has implemented this type of legislation actually contravenes international human rights laws, and it also has the effect that it actually invalidates the government under Australian law as well. Because even under Australian law, forced medication is illegal and is actually a breach of the Australian Constitution. I believe it is section 51.23, and it is also coercion and forced civil conscription, which are both illegal under Australian law, and thereby invalidates the entire Australian government. So the Australian government, folks, really doesn't have a leg to stand on. It doesn't have any legal value at all, doesn't have any legal justification to even be there, because it has invalidated itself via its own corrupt legislation. Of course, you know that the turdful regime was going to do this and that the Australian government is invalid anyway, as it's simply a trading company. And there is no contract that exists between anybody and the government. It's the same in every country, actually, folks. You know, it's impossible for you to have a valid contract with government because there needs to be three things in a contract. There needs to be full disclosure, there needs to be certainty of terms, there needs to be valuable consideration. And, you know, all parties need to be agreeing on the contract. People need to know what the contract is and they need to both sign it and they both need to be in agreement. But any contract that you entered into with government, if you signed anything, I mean, they never gave you full disclosure. They never even told you what your birth certificate was. They never even told you that they were a trading company. So therefore, any contract that anybody has with government is invalid. And it's kind of good that Malcolm Turdfull has implemented this type of legislation because it just further invalidates his government and further demonstrates to the people what a lying scumbag the man actually is and how little regard he actually has for humankind. I mean, he's an unelected prime minister who was put to office simply because he's a Zionist and he's an ex-banker, so what do you expect? The thing is, though, folks, with Malcolm Turdfull introducing this mandatory vaccination measures, he's actually taken things to a whole new level. He really has, because a lot of educated parents have gone to a lot of trouble to get their children out of harm's way regarding these vaccines. Because let's face it, these vaccines are full of heavy metals, they're full of viral diseases, mycoplasma, fecal material, DNA fragments from other species, formaldehyde, mercury, squalene. Polysorbate 8 is another popular thing that they put in the vaccinations, which is of course a sterilizing agent. And they're also known to cause autism. We've seen a huge increase in autism since they started these vaccination campaigns. And look, they had a few vaccinations when I was a kid, folks, but now they have literally dozens of vaccinations that they inject into these children whose immune systems are still developing. And this serves to compromise their immune systems dramatically so that it sort of basically makes them good fodder for Big Pharma to be able to feed them drugs for the rest of their lives because their immune systems have been so compromised at such an early age. And we've seen masses of increases in autism. We've also seen a massive lowering in the IQ, the general IQ of the population since they started introducing these vaccinations as well because of the amount of mercury they put in the vaccinations, which is known to affect cognitive function. Mercury is also a cumulative poison, folks, so it's never washed out of the body. And it's virtually in all vaccinations. They give you a little bit at a time and it just keeps building up. But the UK government, you know, like there was a Freedom of Information Act that was filed by a doctor that revealed 30 years of secret official documents showing that government experts have known for a long time that vaccines don't work. They've known that they cause the diseases they are supposed to prevent. They've known that they are a hazard to children, and they colluded to lie to the public, and they worked to prevent any safety studies being done. Now, this has all been tabled with documents. People have carried out Freedom of Information requests, and they've got access to these documents, which has proved all of this. So we know what these vaccines are doing. We know how much they are compromising human health, not improving it. And then when we have scumbags and criminals like Malcolm Turdfull in this country saying that it must be mandatory, otherwise we are going to penalize you and take money from you and drive you into a life of crime whereby we can incarcerate you. And he's even saying that people who do not get vaccinated may actually have to go to jail to prevent the spread of disease. This is what this criminal is saying. And this shows just what a heartless scumbag Malcolm Turdfull actually is. This man is the worst thing that could ever have happened to this country, which I guess is why they had to place him in power, because God knows that nobody would have voted for this man, because everybody knows he's a Zionist criminal, ex-bankster, and we just don't want this guy running the country. He is, in fact, the worst person you could possibly have running a country. And you watch, folks, if they get away with introducing these mandatory vaccines without some sort of public outcry here in Apathralia, then they will do it everywhere. That's the way they do it, folks. They use each country as a test case to see what they can get through, and then they roll it out around the rest of the world. Our biggest problem in dealing with this type of thing is that we always view these problems as being nationalistic. We always think that the problems we have are unique to our own country. We don't realize that really it's just one big department store that's all run by the same people, and they just try out different strategies in different parts of the franchise and see which works. But eventually it always spreads out to all the other countries involved. But things are certainly being pushed to the next level here in Australia. The Australian government's gotten quite out of control, actually, folks. They're refusing to let people into the country. They're refusing to let David Icke into the country to do a tour here next year, which is interesting because he's already been here two or three times and had no problem with his visa at all. But now they've given him a document, a questionnaire, which it is virtually impossible to complete, and they're saying he has to complete this questionnaire before he will be allowed into the country. But as I said, the questionnaire is impossible to complete. It's information you can't possibly know even about yourself unless you've kept meticulous records on yourself for the last 50 years, like really ridiculous stuff like your record of employment since birth, every single job you've done, and your records of unemployment since birth. I mean, it's just so many ridiculous things, folks. But they're refusing to let him into the country. They did the same thing with Ken O'Keefe. They refused to let him in. He was supposed to come out for a tour and some speaking dates with me last year, but he was not able to do so. I actually went over to Bali and spent 10 days in Bali in early December, because that's the only way I was able to get to see him. And I'm actually working on a project with him and a bunch of other people. Ken's put an idea together called the World Citizen Initiative, which is something which actually may make a difference. And I know there's all these weird connotations about using the word citizen, but there's a reason he's used that. And it involves checkmating the system from within its own fiction. So that's something that will be announced, I think, around about February, that will be launched properly and people will be able to find out exactly what it's all about. Of course, there's been a few detractors, there's been a few agents provocateurs attempt to stir up division and stir up distrust about the project, because it's something that actually will make a difference, and so you've got to expect that sort of thing as well. I tell you, folks, I'm the wrong person for people to start posting negative things about, because I have a very, very short tolerance these days for people attacking me and posting negative things, and people making unfounded accusations. I really don't go very well with that anymore, folks, especially after the last 12 months, after being brutalized and beaten and attacked and having two attempts made on my life. I really do have a short fuse when it comes to people attacking me these days. So anyone out there who does consider posting negative stuff and attacking me from this point on, well, folks, if you do so, then you'd better damn well be prepared for a very, very strong response from a thoroughly pissed off Scorpio, who is not going to be pulling any punches at all from this point forward. I mean, sure, folks, I love mankind and I respect people, but people who fail to respect me and people who fail to respect my friends are not going to be getting very respectful responses from me anymore. Gloves really have come off, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's needed. I think a lot of these responses and a lot of these attacks I'm getting, I think it's a good thing, really, because it's prepared me for the upcoming battle against this system. It's actually thickened my skin quite a bit. Now, I always like to think the best of people, and I never like to get involved in confrontation, and I always like to take a backward step in such situations and just allow people to vent. And I've always figured that eventually they will come around, eventually they will calm down and they'll see sense and things can work out. And some of the people who you've considered to be your worst enemies end up being your closest friends. But it gets to a point where you just find these online keyboard warriors attacking anybody that they can, because that's how they get their energy. And it gets to a point where you've just got to say, well, enough is enough. And you've got to either ignore them or sometimes just dish a little bit back to them, because doing so can often strengthen your will and it can strengthen your demeanor and it can sometimes build your character. You should never be afraid of embracing and expressing your emotions, folks. Just don't hold on to stuff. Don't hold grudges with people. I don't hold grudges with anybody. I get angry at people. I'll release a tirade of venom at them if the situation calls for it and my emotions take me there. But I don't ever then begin to hate that person or want to cause harm to that person or even hold a grudge against that person. I mean, once I've spoken my mind, then it's said and I'm done and I can move on from that point. And I've always been able to do that. I've just never held grudges with anybody. I mean, honestly, folks, I don't know anybody anywhere in the world that I would consider to be my enemy. But yeah, I'm over the attacks. I'm over the division that these people wish to continue and perpetuate. We really, really do need some unity in this movement, folks. We need people to actually start respecting each other and realize that we're all facing a common foe here and that we all have a common goal, which is to lead mankind to a place of freedom. We've got to start respecting other people's research, start appreciating that people are going to have different ideas than you do. People are going to see different things as being more important than you do. People are going to have a different concept of what the way out of this mess is. And that's okay for people to think differently. As long as we can respect each other, we will get there. It's the lack of respect that people have for each other which really is a big part of the problem, and people going on the attack against anybody who thinks differently to they do, calling everybody else out as a shill. This is the big problem that we face in this so-called push towards freedom that we're all involved in, folks. We really need to start respecting each other. If we do that, we're going to find that the walls break down pretty quickly. You know, if people had respect for each other, they'd want to get active. And that's what we need to do, folks. We all need to get active in our communities, not just sit here and post stuff online, not just do talk shows, not just read news sites and hope that some alternative media personality is going to lead us all to safety. We need to actually get active in our own communities. And this isn't going to happen if we don't respect each other. You know, but there's enough people online now. I mean, even with this alternate media, this independent media, whatever you want to call it, the people who are even half awake. I mean, there's so many people now who are aware that something is terribly wrong. And if we were to unite with a common focus, then we could achieve great things. It's just that people will not put down the stuff they have with each other. People are so caught up in their own particular rabbit hole that they simply don't want to look at the bigger picture. I mean, that's the problem that we face, really, folks, is that people will not look at the bigger picture. They won't look at things holistically. They're all concerned with their own piece of the puzzle. And this has been a huge frustration for people like me to see this, to see the division in the movement when freedom is right there at our fingertips and it would be so easy to grasp if people would simply pay attention. I mean, there certainly is enough fuel that we have now to wake people up, folks, with what's going on in Australia, what's going on in Europe, what's going on in England. I mean, look at England. England's just flooded again. They've not dredged the Thames again this year because of the silly rules that the EU has put in place. I mean, they've been dredging the rivers in England for centuries, folks, because they know that if they don't dredge the rivers, then the local areas flood. And sometimes it can get really bad and even go into the cities. And they haven't dredged the rivers for 2 years running now, at least 2 years running, and probably more. And there were floods in the UK last year because of it, and there are now floods in the UK again. And then you've got David Cameron out there saying how much he cares about all these people who've been flooded out, but it was he who allowed the EU to dictate whether he should dredge the rivers or not. I mean, this is a fool, not to mention that he has sex with dead pigs, but he's a fool. And he's just caused a massive amount of hardship for the people of his country when he knows better. I mean, why on earth would they allow the EU to tell them not to take the safety precautions that they have been taking for hundreds of years, which have been known to keep them safe? Oh, no, we're not allowed to do that. So we're just going to have to let everybody flood and let all this terrible damage happen to everybody because it's good for the EU. I mean, how does this work, folks? How does this work? Look what's going on in Europe. The massive migrant influx into Europe, the way they've completely destabilized all of the whole European continent, all done by design. And of course, while they're doing that, they are destabilizing the Middle East as well, completely and utterly destroying Syria, killing thousands upon thousands of people in order to keep them safe, because they're saying Assad is killing his people. So we need to stop that by going in and carpet bombing the entire country and killing as many people as possible. That way Assad won't be able to kill his own people, because the West will have already killed them all. This seems to be their strategy, folks. I mean, I don't know, these mindless cretins who have sex with dead animals in order to get their office. I mean, why do we put up with this, ladies and gentlemen? Really? Why do we even consider doing what these people say? I mean, why isn't Australia on strike? Why isn't the entire country on strike standing up against Malcolm Turdfull because of his human rights abuse by introducing mandatory vaccination? And it isn't a matter of whether you're pro-vaccination or anti-vaccination. It's a matter of having a choice, folks. If they take your choice away of what you are able to put in your body and who has a say over what is put into your body, then what other rights do you think they are going to take away? What do you think this is the precursor to? This is basically saying that forced medication is okay. This means if you get angry one day and question the government, they may just grab you, put you in a room and jab something in your arm and make you nice and docile. And if you try to complain about it, or they'll lock you up in a psych ward because you let them do it, because you let them introduce this legislation and you didn't say anything about it because you were too scared and too cowed by this corrupt, invalid government, which has tricked you into thinking that you need rulers when you don't. And that's really the situation that we're in, folks. And all of this provides opportunities for mankind to wake up to themselves, call this out, and let's take this species in a new direction, one that is far better than the direction that we're going. Because the direction that we're going is basically hell on earth, folks. We've got a situation here where the world is run by psychopaths, it's run by the worst possible people for the job, and all they are doing is sacrificing mankind and sacrificing our environment and sacrificing everything they can and watching the world burn in order to satisfy their own indulgences and their own needs and their own greed, basically. Greedy bunch of scumbag tyrants running the planet, folks. That's what we've got, and it's going to continue until we call it out and decide to stand up and do something about it. What can we do? Well, we can call it out. Stand up and call it out. Stop paying your taxes. Stop complying with anything this system wants you to do and start calling these politicians out for what they are. Start calling Malcolm Turnbull a criminal. Start calling David Cameron a criminal. A criminal who approves of bestiality. Not only bestiality, but bestiality and necrophilia. Because these are dead animals that he likes to have sex with, apparently. So this is the man who's running England, folks. So you think there might be a reason for you to stand up and say, hey, look, we're not going to do this anymore. Just look at this guy. Look at this guy. Look what he did to get the approval that it takes to become a member of the Billington Boys, which then, of course, led to him becoming Prime Minister of England. And the same can be said for all of these world leaders, folks. They're all a bunch of scumbags. If you don't think that is correct and you think they're actually doing a good job, then, I don't know, have a look around you at the state of the world. Maybe pull your head out of the sand a little bit. Because I think any garden variety pickpocket or thief from any common slum will do a far better job of running a country than any of the people that we currently see in positions of power. So people need to get involved in calling this out. They need to get involved in their local community. And again, folks, if you don't have anybody in your area that you know who is awake and you don't have anybody in your area to get involved with, well, that's what the Full Circle Project is all about. You can go and sign up to the Full Circle Project and use the community connector and find people in your area and form an action group on the ground where you live and get involved. And look, the mere act of creating a support network around you is incredibly empowering, folks. I've seen a lot of people do it. I'm seeing a lot of people use this mechanism, and I'm seeing it make a difference in their lives. So please, it's there. Do go and get involved in it. And it doesn't matter what sort of other project you're involved in, folks. You can bring it on board and put it into Full Circle, and you can use the community connector to get it out to people and get information out to people. And you can also use it to find out what other people are doing, what action they're taking, what's working and what isn't. I mean, I firmly believe that even though the system is fiction, that there are still mechanisms in it that we can use if we're smart about it, if we do things in a timely manner. The thing is, once the system locks itself down, then it doesn't have to pretend that its fiction is real anymore. It would just become a totalitarian nightmare. But at the moment, those who control things still have to pretend that their fiction is real. They still have to pretend that their legal system actually has value and it works. And that is something that we can use against them to expose them. There's certain mechanisms we can implement which will checkmate them within their own fiction. This is what Ken's attempted to do with the World Citizen Initiative. And it's what many people have attempted to do. It's just that most people don't have the whole story. Most people only have a piece of the puzzle, and they're too concerned with their own tunnel vision to want to unite and hook up with other people. And really, folks, there's a lot of movements out there which are basically anti-government, pro-freedom movements, but they're all locked into their own tunnel vision. They've all got their own version of what freedom looks like and what the path to freedom is, and they're not prepared to listen to each other, and that's a huge problem. People have to be prepared to listen to each other because everybody has a piece of the puzzle. And even if someone's got an idea and it's the wrong idea, if you're prepared to listen to them, then maybe they will be prepared to listen to you, and maybe you can help them see the light and help them see what a real remedy looks like. But again, don't enter into the conversation thinking that you have the remedy and that the other guy's wrong, because you may not have all the pieces of the puzzle. There may be some little gem of gold in there, even though he got the rest of it wrong. So you have to be prepared to listen to people, and we've got to be able to open all of these ideas up for discussion. You know, there is freedom there, folks. It is right there at the end of the rainbow. We just can't seem to find it, but it is there, and we do have an opportunity to create some. I think for the first time in history, we actually have an opportunity for freedom. And if we can put our stuff down, then we're going to achieve that. Now, I really believe that that's what all this is for. That's what all of this stuff is coming out now. That's what all this hidden knowledge has come out for. That's why the system is becoming so much in everybody's face, because it is giving the human species an opportunity to step into their power and to establish freedom for the first time in the human experience. And personally, I think it's a wonderful time to be alive. I really do. I think that we are on the verge of great things. Of course, we're dancing on the edge of a knife. We are on the verge of terrible things as well, if we allow it. But I really don't think we will. I don't think people will allow this type of police state to come online. I don't think people will buy into the technology the way they're being trained to do, and they will allow themselves to become too subservient to it. I really do suggest people get rid of their mobile phones. I mean, sure, I've got one, but I only use it maybe once a month. I take it out now and then. People send me phone calls, and they don't get a message back from me for sometimes a month, folks, because I just don't use the thing. I only bought it so my son could find me when I have to pick him up, when I have to meet him in some weird place, and there aren't any phone booths anywhere, so you can't call each other anymore. So last time I had to meet him somewhere, I couldn't find him because I couldn't find a phone booth to call him. And so that's basically the reason I got a cheap mobile phone, but that's about the only time I use it, is when I am going to pick him up or something. So we need to not be so dependent upon technology, especially when the technology is being put in place in such a way as to monitor and control us. And that's exactly what they're doing with it, folks. That's what the smart grid's all about. That's why they've digitized everything. And the smart grid, the electricity grid, is what they have found as the access point into everybody's home. But it's all based on us actually using the technology. If we don't use the technology, then they don't really have any way of bringing their system online. And it's a choice, folks. We don't have to use it. It always is a choice. But look, I think we are at break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's good to be back talking to you, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, so how do we go about combating this system, like here in Australia? How do we go about dealing with this mandatory forced vaccination and all this sort of stuff? Well, what you've got to do, folks, is you've got to understand that what this is someone claiming a right of ownership over your body. That's basically what forced medication is. And our problem when we're attempting to combat these sorts of things and address these types of issues is we go for government. We start petitioning government. We start writing letters to government and all of this sort of stuff. We start looking for people to overturn legislation. We start voting people in, voting people out, all sorts of things like this. What we've got to understand is that it's an attack against your flesh, which is being carried out by someone within government. Not the government itself, but someone within government. Someone within the mechanism of government wrote down this rule on a piece of paper, and then they put their name to it and they signed it into law. It is that person who signed it into law who is claiming a right of ownership over your body. So what you need to do in combating this is you need to contact the government and ask who signed off on the legislation, and can this person please state their claim? They need to prove their claim over the vessel that you inhabit. See, when government sends you nasty letters and they attempt to fine you or say you're in breach of legislation or any of this sort of stuff, folks, what they're doing is they're making a claim against you. And what it is a living man or woman within government who is making a claim against you, another living man or woman. But we don't ever go down that path. We think, oh, well, no, I am Max Egan. I am my name, and therefore I am identified by my birth certificate. Therefore, I address government, which is a cloud, And you've lost right from that point, folks. As soon as you start looking at the legal name and the connotations of all of that, and you start trying to fight government, which is a fiction, it's a cloud, it doesn't really exist, it's just an idea, then you've already lost. What you've got to do is stand in your own flesh, realize that you are a living man or woman, and what this government or someone within the government is doing is making a claim of ownership over you. They're making a claim against you with whatever fine or whatever legislation they try to bring down on you. These are living people attempting to exercise claims and rights of ownership over other living people. But we never address it that way. And if we do address it that way, you'll find that the government doesn't have anywhere to go because slavery is illegal even under its own legislation. But we don't ever address it as from the perspective of slavery. We never address it from that perspective. We always think, oh, well, I've just got to do what the government says. But why do you have to do what the government says? These are just a bunch of people we employ to look after the roads and pick up the garbage for us and to make sure the borders aren't completely open and our country isn't overrun. I mean, these are people that we employ to manage things for us. They're not rulers. They're not anyone who owns you. And if they're coming in now saying that they're going to inject toxins into you and there's nothing you can do about it, then they have way, way overstepped their mark. They have way, way overstepped their job description. They are now in total abuse of office. They are now attempting to implement an open slavery system in the country, and it will continue and it will be rolled out and it will be introduced unless people choose to stand in their flesh and address these criminals who are attempting to exercise a right of ownership over their flesh. That's how it has to be done. And you're going to find that if a lot of people start doing this and a lot of people start directing these questions towards the politicians, then the politicians have absolutely nowhere to go. They really have nowhere to go, folks. And if we can do this and enough people can make enough noise about this, we're going to find that we can expose this entire government as the criminal cabal that they are. We can remove them all from power, have them arrested, held accountable for their actions, which will lead us back to a point where we can actually regroup and find some pathway to freedom and remedy. But we're not going to find it within the parameters of the system. The only remedy we can ever hope to find within the parameters of the system is by using bits of it against itself to get rid of the criminals who are now running things. And the problem is, in the alternate media, is that there are so many people who have an extremist view on this who just want total freedom, completely step out of the system now, and we all step into a new reality, which isn't going to happen, folks. It's an unrealistic way of looking at this because it's not going to happen because there are too many sleeping masses, and we don't want to let the sleeping masses die. We want to bring the whole human species with us. So if we're sensible about this and we start calling the system out within its own fiction, then we're going to checkmate it, and these people who are running it are going to have nowhere to go. So in these sort of situations, start asking who's making the claims against you, folks. Start asking who is claiming a right of ownership over your flesh, and can they please prove their claim? And if they cannot, then I would suggest that you start using the system against them under their own slavery laws, because obviously they are treating you like a commodity, like you are property, and you are not. You are a living, breathing man or woman of living flesh. And if we start standing in that flesh and start calling things out, folks, you're going to find that you're going to make a real difference. And not only that, you'll inspire people around you to want to stand up and do the same thing. And people want to. People want to make a difference. People can see that there's something terribly wrong. I mean, almost everybody can see there's something terribly wrong now, and they want to make a difference. They just don't know what to do. So you can lead by example in what you do. You know, and we need to do it pretty soon, folks. We really do, because once this system locks down, then you can forget any of the rules. You can forget any of their pretend fiction. They won't even have to pretend that it's real anymore. You know, they'll just treat us the way they're treating the people in Palestine. And that's what Palestine's been all about, and I've said that for so many years, folks. If we do not pay attention to it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And that's really what's happening. I mean, look at what is going on in Europe. Look at what they're doing here. Just the fact that they have the audacity to introduce this forced medication in Australia, this shows how confident these people are and how much hubris these people actually have. They really think they're going to be able to get away with this. They really think that people are just going to roll over and let them. And in many cases, they will. But there are going to be large sections of the community who don't, who stand up and really start making noise about it. What we need to do is put the correct information into the hands of these people so that when they do start making noise about it and they do start addressing this situation, they go down the correct pathway. They don't start using the parameters that the system puts there for them. They start calling out the people who are making the claim and attempting to exercise a right of ownership over their flesh. That's what this is all about. And really, that's what government has done all the way down the line, hasn't it, folks? It has attempted to exercise a right of ownership over people. I mean, we know this is a slavery system. We know it's financial debt slavery. We know all of this stuff. We've been talking about this for years. But when it actually comes down to controlling your flesh through forced medication, well, that takes it to an entirely new level, and it provides us with a huge opportunity to stand up and call this out. Now, never before have we had such a good opportunity given to us, and I really hope the people of Australia embrace this opportunity and do start making some noise about this and do start doing it from the correct perspective. It really is a wonderful opportunity for us. You know, and all crisis is opportunity, folks. And this now brings it down to the wire. In many ways, I welcome it. I welcome this move because this now brings it home to everybody. And now people cannot use the excuse that it isn't in their backyard. They can't use the excuse that it doesn't affect them, because it does now. It affects every man, woman, and child in this country. And this is where the line must be drawn. And it's my great hope that this legislation will spark a fire in the hearts of the Australian people, and we will see a mass uprising of defiance against the criminals who are running the Australian government. I mean, the choice is ours, folks. It really is. The choice of which direction this world is going to go lies with the people themselves. I mean, of course, if we leave it to the government, folks, we know which direction it's going to go. It's going to go straight to World War III and massive depopulation, which is everything our governments are currently pushing for. America and Israel and the UK and their allies have been attempting to kickstart World War III for some years now. And with their blatant human rights abuses in Syria and the blatant human rights abuses in Yemen that they're allowing the Saudis to carry out, and in Palestine, I mean, it's all pushing towards this. They've really been pushing as hard as they can, attempting to get mankind angry with them. And the only thing that is going to stop it is if the people in Western countries actually stand up and do something about it and call it out for what it is, and stop following the media, stop believing what these liars feed to the general public. It's absolutely disgraceful. Now, as I've often said, folks, none of these lies could continue. None of these fake wars could continue. None of this situation could ever have happened were it not for the complicity and the lies and disinformation and false reality that's been fed to the people by the criminal scumbags who populate the mainstream media. They are so complicit and have so much blood on their hands that it absolutely defies analysis, folks. Without these people spreading their propaganda and feeding their rubbish to the world, none of this could have happened. We truly are at an interesting point in history, folks. We really are. We're at the point where we are quite literally facing World War III. This is what our leaders are trying to implement. They've been trying to kickstart it for a while, as I just said. And they're doing this because they really see this as the only way out of the position that they're in, because they are so badly exposed now. So many people know that the world is run by criminals, and the only hope they've got of keeping it going and keeping their control grid going is to kickstart a major war. Unfortunately, everybody seems to want to come to the party as well. Russia seems to be okay with the idea, and so does China. Interestingly, we've had Iran actually trying to circumvent this for a while. Iran has been screaming out for peace for such a long time, and it's been naming Israel as the main protagonist in all of the global situation for such a long time. And of course, Iran has been horribly vilified because of that. The rise of Islamophobia we've seen around the world, even with people who are in the independent media, we've seen this Islamophobia. It's really been quite an interesting program, the way it's been run, and it's been quite interesting seeing how many people have actually bought into the idea that Islam is a threat to the world when it's not. The threat that we face in the world today comes wholly and solely from government. It always has. You know, any major event that we've seen in any country has been staged by government. What we saw here in Australia has been staged by government, the terror attacks we've seen here. And the Port Arthur massacre, folks, go back to that. The Port Arthur massacre where we lost all our guns and were removed of our means of defending ourselves. This was 100% staged by government, folks, provably staged by government. And it's the same as the attack in Paris. I mean, this was a government-staged event, same as 9/11, government-staged event. All of these events are staged, and they're all designed to lead us down a certain pathway. And yet, even while this is happening, and while people know these events are staged, they're buying into the Islamophobia program that is going along with these events. So they will expose the events as being false flags, but then they buy into the Islamophobia, which is the byproduct of these events. And that's been quite amazing to see how many independent media personalities have bought into that and have fallen down that rabbit hole. I mean, personally, I'm not a religious person. I think all religion is demented, regardless of the faith or denomination. I just don't buy into religion. But religion is never really that dangerous until it gets involved in politics. Whenever we've seen religion involved in politics and we've got theocracies running countries, then we end up in trouble. But really the main problem there is the political system. It's the political platform that they use to springboard their ideas from. Now, religion and politics should never be involved with each other. We should never have religion involved in any type of government. No type of religion should be involved in any type of government. But the problem itself isn't religion. The problem is the fundamental ideas within the religions that are then pushed by the different government bodies. The problem is always government. Every problem that we face on the planet comes from government, folks. Every piece of environmental damage, everything that we're facing, any issue we have, is due to legislation that's been put in place by government, all of it. Let's face it, the wars, the fracking, everything comes from this same source. But when we're looking for remedy, you know, we tend to still look for scapegoats to point the finger at and then hope the government's going to save us. Like with this global situation, we point our fingers at Islam and we hope the government is going to protect us from Islam. And we do this while we know that the government is the one staging all these events. I mean, I just don't understand why so many people are thinking this way. It's really, really bizarre. But Islam is not the problem, folks. Government is the problem. Government and media, and is the media that is promoting this horrible Islamic boogeyman so that all the world is pointing in that direction and they're not really paying attention to what's going on around them. And they're not really looking at what the remedy is to our situation, which is to hold our governments accountable for their actions, folks. And how do you do that? Well, you unite your community by respecting each other and you stand up with a strong, united communal voice and you call it out for what it is, folks. Don't be afraid to do so. Just call things out. Ask the government who's making these claims over you and ask the government why you are required to pay taxes to them when they are murdering people overseas. Ask why you are required to fund war. Because that's the real problem, folks, is that we fund all of this death and destruction and mayhem all around the place. And what we're doing actually with the World Citizen Initiative that Ken O'Keefe is putting together is attempting to withdraw that support legally, peacefully, within their own legal fiction, show that how their fiction can be used against itself to withdraw all support from the governments that are supporting war and do this legally, peacefully, morally, and there's nothing they can do about it. Because you've used their own fiction to do it. That's what we're attempting to do with the World Citizen Initiative. Just put together a means where we can peacefully remove ourselves from the support of any government or any organization which is causing harm, injury, or death. But it's not going to work if people don't stand up and make a stand themselves and don't get involved in their own community. And again, folks, go use the Community Connector, sign up to Full Circle Project, get a group in your own community, get a discussion group happening, get an action group happening, and start making some change in your area. And again, people say, well, what's the change I can do? How can I do something? How can I get involved? Well, if you're not prepared to stand up and call things out, folks, then it's not going to happen. I mean, it's one thing to go and sign up to the Connector and to get involved in your community, but if you're not actually going to get involved and you're not going to actually start standing up and calling things out, then it's all for nothing. You've got to be prepared to put yourself into action, folks. You know, this has always been one of the biggest problems with the independent media and with the truth movement or the freedom movement or whatever you want to call it, is people's unwillingness to get involved. People often just want to sit there and get the next installment of the magazine that they're reading or the spy novel version of reality that they're involved in. And they want to hear that the world has changed, that someone has led this all back to safety and everything's good now. But they're not really seeing the bigger picture, and they're not realizing that we are writing history right now, and we have to get involved ourselves to make a difference. Don't think you're a little person. Don't think you're someone with no ability to make change, because everybody has the ability to make change. That has been the biggest conspiracy of all, folks. The concept that we are just little people who cannot do anything to fix the situation. You know, but that removes your power from you, just that one thought. You know, you don't even begin to see things correctly from that perspective, because all government consists of is the same people, people just like you. All that actually exists anywhere within the human framework on this planet are people with equal standing and equal value. All are able to make change. Every change we've ever seen on this earth has come ultimately from the mind of one person who had an idea that resonated with people and took off in the minds of people and became reality. All they had to do was have the idea to begin with and to speak their mind and put it into action. And we can all do this, folks, and it's important to understand that. It's so empowering to realize that every single thing that we see on the earth today, every single achievement of mankind, every single destructive moment of mankind, everything this species has done ultimately came from the spark of an idea that was born within a mind of a single individual. And that is all of us, folks. We all have the ability to make these changes. You know, we're taught that we're little people. We're taught that we can't do anything. We're taught that government must have control over us. We're taught that we need rulers. Well, I reject all of that. I reject that entire reality. That is not my reality. Integrity has no need of rules. And at the moment, the earth is run by a terrible, terrible group of people who are doing terrible, terrible things. And all you have to do is look around you to see the reality of this. But if we don't call it, it's not going to change. And if we don't refuse to comply with it, then it's going to continue. And what we're attempting to do with the World Citizen Initiative is create the mechanism whereby we are lawfully required to remove support from these people and remove support from these governments while these governments are waging war. Because let's face it, folks, none of these wars are being done to protect us. There's no reason to go and bomb children in Syria to keep America, England, or Australia safe. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're not being invaded by Syria. We don't need to go and bomb Syrian children. We don't need to go and wipe out the population to prevent their president from killing them. It just doesn't make sense, folks. None of these wars make sense. The entire war on terror is fake anyway. And we have to start withdrawing support from these people. And we've got to stop supporting any government which is supporting Israel. That's our ticket right there, folks, because Israel is carrying out war crimes, blatant war crimes, which makes all politicians in the Western world, well, virtually all of them, 99% of them, because they all support Israel, makes all of these people war criminals, folks, and that gives us the ability to call them out within their own fiction right there, without even becoming world citizens. So, you know, if we choose to, we can make a difference. Now, what we're attempting to do with the World Citizen Initiative is actually provide some legal framework and basically a support group for people. So people know that there are thousands, hopefully millions of people around the planet that have all signed up to this, that are all pushing this as well, and it gives them the confidence to go forward. That's the problem, that most people lack the confidence because they lack the support group around them. And again, if you feel this way, please go and sign up to the Full Circle Project and start using the Community Connector and get that support group happening, because you're going to find there's people in your community. You're going to find there's people that are quite close to you that feel exactly the same way, that want to have a support group around them and want people to talk to. And if you link up together, you're going to find it very, very inspiring. You're going to find your confidence levels go up and you're going to find your motivation levels go up. So please do get involved. Now's the time to do it, folks. 2016 is truly going to be a year of change, and what that change is going to be will be determined upon how we the people act and what path we choose to go down, whether we choose to simply roll over and let these criminals continue to run this world into the ground, or that we choose to stand up, call it out, and make a difference. And we've certainly got every opportunity to do so, folks. Everything's been exposed so much lately. Port Arthur massacre's been exposed. The Western ties to ISIS have been exposed. The Greater Israel Project's been exposed. The fact that ISIS are receiving $19 million a month in funding just in oil revenue from Israel has been exposed. And so many things are just being exposed for what they are. Look at the US presidential campaign. What a joke that is. Hillary Clinton actually running for president. This woman's a career criminal and she's running for president. There's so much dirt on that woman. It's amazing that she isn't even in jail now. And yet they're allowing her to run for president. I mean, if you can't see how corrupt your country is just because you've got this psychopathic, warmongering criminal running for president, well, what's it going to take, folks? What's it going to take for you to see this? And if the people in England can't understand it, they've got this guy who had sex with the head of a dead pig in order to get to the position where he became prime minister. This is who you've got running your country. I mean, why are people even considering doing what these people say? Why aren't they calling it out for what it is? You know, you've just got the Queen of England. They've just put in new secrecy laws to deal with the fact that there is a pedophile ring that appears to be connected to the royal family. Of course there is. And so how do they deal with that? Well, they introduce legislation saying you can't investigate it and secrecy laws and all this. I mean, you know, we just let them do this. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, why do we let people just write laws to protect themselves, and they call these things scandals all the time, and they're not scandals, they're criminal acts. Well, the people just call them scandals, and the people allow themselves to be bamboozled by the media, and they just go about their daily lives and allow themselves to be controlled and ripped off and all the stuff that we're facing, folks. But it's drawing to a close, I think. People are seeing it now, and they're seeing that the time has come for mankind to step into their power. And that's what I believe 2016 is going to be, folks. It's going to be the time we step into our power. But people have to want to do it, and they have to be prepared to do it. I mean, but what's the option? What choice do you have? If you don't step into your power, you're allowing yourself to be enslaved. And it's just getting worse and worse. And if you think you've been having a hard time in your life up until now, well, you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. So what are you going to do? Are you going to allow yourself to be slowly cooked, or are you going to make a stand while you still have the ability to do so? That's the thing, folks. You've got to do it while you still have the means to do it, and those means will not be there forever. You know, the world is very open and transparent at the moment, but that's not going to last if we don't stand up and make some difference ourselves. But look, I think we're getting to the end of the show here, folks. We've got a couple of minutes left. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again. I will be doing some shows. Hopefully I'll be back on the air regularly by the end of January. I can't really guarantee anything at the moment, but that is what I'm aiming for. It will depend on what happens when I get to Peru. And I do have a lot of speaking dates coming up. I've got to speak in February in the Anacapulco conference in Mexico. And I also got a gig in England in March at the Brighton Dome, which I hope if you're in England, you'll come along to that. That's two gigs, I think, on the 6th and 8th of March. I've got another gig in Australia on the 11th of March at a festival in Victoria, and another talk I have to do in Byron Bay on the 18th of March. Then I have two dates in the United States in April at the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia, and another gig that Ian Crane is putting together, I think, in Portland. So if you're around in the area in the United States or in Mexico or in England, any of those states, it would be great to see you. So I'm going to be kind of out and about and traveling a lot for the next few months, but most of the time, hopefully, I'm going to be sitting in Peru working on a new film and continuing the radio shows. But look, we are facing some difficult times, but all is most certainly not lost. There are a lot of good things on the horizon as well. There are a lot of good opportunities that are coming out of this crisis, this dilemma that humankind finds itself immersed in, and that's always the way it's going to be. Now, we're on the verge of birthing a new reality here, folks, and like any form of birth, it can be a painful process, but something beautiful can come of it if we choose to get involved and if we choose to put our hearts and minds to it. And that's what I think is going to happen. I really think we're going to head for some really, really positive change by the end of this year if the people can get motivated enough to actually get involved. But I think it's getting to a point where they can't help it because it's just so in their face now. And people are beginning to realize that no one's coming to save them, that they are, in fact, their own saviors, and all they have to do is step up to the plate. But look, that's it for me, folks. We're completely out of time. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the Crow House. If anybody can, it would be wonderful. They have been very, very few and far between while I've been off the air. I could really use some support at the moment. But thank you to anybody who has ever contributed. Thank you to all the people who send me kind emails, and thank you to all the support that you've shown me over the years. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for the support that I get from the people. So thank you, and together I do believe we are making a change. But folks, I'm completely out of time, so I'm going to have to go now. It's been a pleasure coming and talking to you again, and I will try to get back on by the end of the month, and I'll look forward to speaking to you then. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.